Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bucs Nation? Welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast, brought to you by Peacock and Williamson. NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I am your host for today's episode, David Harrison. James Yarko has the week off, but if you're new to the show, usually I have a co-host, James, but we both welcome you to the Locked On Bucs podcast either way. If you're a returning listener, of course, you know. If you haven't already, please follow or subscribe to the podcast on your podcast provider of choice. Leave a rating, leave a review. It really helps other Bucs fans find the show. Speaking of finding us, you can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Bucs. You can find me at dharrison82. Find James at jyarko_bucs. Find everything that he and I are writing about your Tampa Bay Buccaneers over at bucsnation.com, part of SB Nation. Also find us writing for WTSP 10 Tampa Bay 5 days a week. And if you didn't catch it during the draft weekend, we have a lot of video production also up with WTSP on their Facebook page, so you can check that out. James and I are literally a little bit of everywhere. Today, joining me, since James is not here, is Zach Blackerby, host of the Locked On Auburn podcast. We're going to talk about Tampa Bay Buccaneers' fifth-round draft pick linebacker, KJ Britt. And then with the time remaining, we've been getting some voicemails not pertaining to some of our contests, so we're going to start to filter through those, start to get through those, and get you guys on the air as you so deserve. But first, let's jump over to my conversation with Zach Blackerby, host of the Locked On Auburn podcast. All right, guys, and joining me now is the host of the Locked On Auburn podcast, Zach Blackerby, also program director at the Auburn Network. So, Zach, explain to our lesser media-savvy listeners what program director at the Auburn Network entails. What are your duties in that capacity?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we're a cluster of radio stations in Auburn. We've got five stations. We also have a magazine. So whatever goes out on those radio stations, for some reason, I have a say in it. So, yeah. And so we do sports, news, music, all that good stuff.
So tapped into everything Auburn. You're doing a great job over there at the Locked On Auburn podcast. On Twitter, you can find Zach, guys, at Z Blackerby. That's Blackerby. And Zach, obviously, we're here to talk Buccaneers. We're here to talk linebacker, sure, KJ Britt. So I've done a little bit of homework. And just to plug your podcast for Buccaneers fans, because I know we have a lot of cross-audience people that like to listen to other shows, I am going to be on Locked On Auburn podcast with Zach. So you can check that episode out coming here pretty soon. But let's talk fresh. Let's talk about KJ Britt. And I'm going to ask you kind of what you asked me. What should Buccaneers fans expect from Mr. Britt?
Sure. So KJ Britt is one of the best and biggest leaders that I've seen come through Auburn in the last decade or so. This is a guy that really came out and had an awesome year two seasons ago. Mm-hmm. And then last year was going to be his year. 2020 was going to be his year. He had led this defense. He had kind of built it up and really had a big part of changing the culture on the defensive side of the football. Then a few games into it, he gets injured. And then you kind of get the vibe he could have come back, but Auburn's season was lost. And so he's like, hey, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to lead this team. And it's the weirdest thing. You and I were talking about this before we started recording, but I had never seen a guy be a face of a defense without like actually playing on the field. And so that's the kind of leader that KJ Britt is. It was still his locker room, despite him not playing. And I never really seen a guy have that kind of pull before. And so that's who you're getting with KJ Britt. You know, and he's a guy that will hit the stew out of you. His first step is really, really good. His football IQ is top notch. So there's a lot of good things about KJ Britt. And most importantly, he's going to work harder than anybody else in the room. And he's a guy that you really, really want in your locker room.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's kind of what everybody's been told so far, is he's got that pop, right? And KJ Britt, spending 4 years at Auburn, played 29 career games, like you said, just played two that final season, 118 tackles, 64 solo, 13 for a loss, 3.5 sacks. So, I mean, the stats don't jump off the sheet. But like you said, you're bringing in a guy like KJ Britt more for that leadership, more for that emotional spark than a lot of other things, which is why he's a fifth-round draft pick. And I always like to tell our audience that when you're looking at day three guys, you're looking for somebody who does something really, really well and then look to see if you can develop the rest of that game around him. I think KJ Britt, that special teams guy, that thumper, that's really going to come in there and give it his all. I like that he hit on the leadership aspect of it. Let's compare him to Tim to some other Auburn players. So Buccaneers fans are very fond of Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean.
Sure.
I heard a recent interview that KJ Britt did on the radio where he talked about how he still talks to Jamel Dean regularly, talks to Carlton Davis, you know, off and on, kind of on social media, and they've kind of talked about what it's like to be an NFL player. When you think about those two players coming out of this program, what are the similarities between a KJ Britt and those two Auburn defenders as far as like personality and mentality go?
Yeah, I see him more similar to Jamel Dean than Carlton Davis. And the reason I say that is like Carlton Davis, as soon as he stepped foot on campus, like he was supposed to be, you know, a future number one draft pick. Mm-hmm. So no one's ever really doubted Carlton Davis, but a lot of people have doubted Jamel Dean. Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
A guy that, you know, he was enrolled at Ohio State for a semester. Then he was like medically, you know, he had to get, you know, let go, and then popped up at Auburn. And a lot of people had kind of written them off because of knee injuries. Yep. And he fought back. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, this guy's good enough to be a day two pick for a team. And obviously he was. So I think that's something that you look at with KJ Britt. He's been told he's too small. He's been told he's too slow. He's been told that he's not good enough. And I think those are things that you kind of like in some of these players. And there's different ways that you can respond to that. And KJ Britt used it as motivation, just like Jamel Dean did. So yeah. I think that's kind of the biggest similarity. And then it's just as far as effort and physicality. And I mean, KJ Britt, he's not the best in pass coverage, but I tell you what, I guarantee he knows what they're running because he watches so much tape and he really understands the game of football. And I think Jamel and Carlton are the same way.
All right, guys, more coming from my conversation with Zach Blackerby, the host of the Locked On Auburn podcast, and we're going to do that thanks to our friends over at betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. This week has tons of sports action going on. You got basketball, hockey, UFC, MMA, baseball, of course. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Today's episode of the Locked On Bucks podcast also brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only at BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and it's fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. Back now for segment two of the Locked On Bucks podcast. David Harrison on Twitter at DHarrison82. Find my co-host James Jarko at JYarko_Bucks. Find the show at Locked On Bucks. Continue our conversation now with the host of the Locked On Auburn podcast, Zach Blackerby. Absolutely. And I mean, Jamel Dean's story, go back to him being drafted by the Bucks. You can see here, our audio audience can't, but you can see that I've got an Ohio State helmet sitting behind me. So I'm familiar with Jamel Dean going back to that unfortunate, the way that things unraveled there at Ohio State, but then moving to Auburn, eventually becoming a draft pick at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I've been covering him ever since. You kind of talked about some of those weaknesses that we perceive about KJ Britt, right? But we talked in our conversation for your show about his performance at the Senior Bowl. So this is always kind of the question, right? When there's doubts, when there's misgivings, and kind of sticking on the Ohio State theme, which my co-host James is going to absolutely love because he's a huge Ohio State fan. Not really.
Sure. I married into an Ohio State family. There you go. Yeah, go Buckeyes.
I always look back at like Michael Thomas, Terry McLaurin, even Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, I was Zeke, you know, nobody's going to call Zeke underrated coming out of college, right? But a lot of people were worried about his ability in the passing game. And honestly, it was just something that Ohio State never really asked him to do or fully tapped into. Michael Thomas, same thing. He was a second round pick because people didn't like the production or the lack of a route tree. And I know he's, you know, 5 yard slant type of guy and all that stuff, but he's shown with New Orleans that he can do more if he's asked to. Terry McLaurin, a guy who was highly slept on because Ohio State honestly just really didn't tap into those things that NFL teams have since tapped into. Is KJ Britt that kind of guy, do you think? Or do you think there is a true ceiling on him that he can't become a better rounded pass defender? Or do you think it's a little bit of maybe Auburn didn't ask him to, they didn't tap into it as much because they didn't need him to fill that role? Do you think there is room for him to expand in some of those deficiencies?
I think there's two ways to approach this question. And the first one, and this I think will be what Buck fans want to hear, but I think when you look at all of the talented linebackers that have come through Auburn over the last 5 or 6 years, they've all been really, really good at the college level, but the NFL hasn't really wanted them because of their inability to be effective in pass coverage. That and whatever can't get a linebacker that's over 6'1". That's just kind of where they're at. I mean, a lot of their linebackers are shorter guys. And so the NFL looks at that and it's like, all right, there's only so much you can do as far as, you know, lining up man on man and kind of covering so much space. So I think there is a ceiling regarding his size and his athleticism. But I still think he can be a solid third or fourth linebacker for a team. I think he's going to be a guy that can be a really good special teams player for the majority of his career. As far as him getting better in pass coverage, you and I talked about it when we were recording on Locked On Auburn, but all season we were like, man, please get him off the field on 3rd and 8 plus. It's like, get him off, because Auburn's got other guys that can cover in space. And you hear that, and then all of a sudden he goes to Mobile for the Senior Bowl, and all these draft reporters are saying, yeah, the best linebacker in coverage is KJ Britt. And I'm like, what? Yeah. It's like all of his rehab and getting healthy, like you can tell that that's something that he worked on. And KJ's going to outwork you. I mean, he's going to work like a, you know, as hard as he possibly can to help his team, because that's the kind of guy he is. So I do think there's a ceiling on his ability, but man, I mean, he shocked me that week in Mobile. So what do I know?
and hey, everybody can turn it. You know, there are ways to work on skills, so never count a player out. Absolutely, for sure. I know Buccaneers fans are looking at it with Mr. Irrelevant that we'll talk about on this show later on in the week as we get on. But then, going back to Mobile, right? So Jim Nagy always, he's kind of had a saying I've seen tweeted out really multiple times over the last couple of years, that not every ball player loves ball, right? And I think that takes some people by surprise, because you kind of look at these players and you're like, why would you be doing this if you don't just love the game of football? But I think it's like every other career. I mean, there are guys in radio who don't love doing radio. There's guys in construction that don't love construction. You know, it's a job just like any other. But KJ Britt, really, like listening to him talk, he always kind of says that, you know, the game never gets too big for him. He was asked about scheme fit, and he's like, I don't really care about scheme fit. I'm just going to go out there and do what I do. And that can be misconstrued by some people as maybe a lack of passion. But then you watch him, you know, play on the field, you watch him practice, you talk about the preparation and how he's going to outwork everybody. So those two things conflict. From the best that you know KJ Britt, is this a guy who loves to ball, or he balls because he loves the opportunity and what it brings to him on the field?
No, he loves football. Yeah. This guy loves football. I mean, we talked about the leadership thing. I mean, you could tell it hurt him that he could not go out there and be, you know, the leader on the field for his teammates. So he did the second best thing. He was the leader off the field for his teammates, and he was on the sideline. And, you know, once he got a little more healthy with his recovery, you know, he was jumping up and celebrating with those guys as soon as they were making plays. And, you know, he did everything he possibly could to travel with the team and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, if this guy doesn't love football, he is hiding it extremely well. But I mean, like we said, I mean, this guy's been told no his whole life to, you know, you're not good enough at these things, and he's powered through it. So I don't think there's really any argument somebody could have that KJ Britt doesn't love ball. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, this is a guy that you want in your locker room because his energy is absolutely infectious. Auburn's athletic department, especially on the football side, they are very constrictive with who you have access to. And usually there's like two players on every team, and it's usually the leader of the offense and the leader of the defense that we get access to. Yeah. And for 2020, pretty much the whole offseason, it's like, okay, we'd get three players. One would be quarterback Bo Nix. One would be KJ Britt. And then one would be some other player that rotated in and out. That's kind of what we dealt with. And it was great talking to KJ every single week, because He always had so much to say. The open for my podcast for the longest time was an audio clip of KJ Britt says, "You can put me out in the parking lot with bears. I don't care. Let's go." And I'm like, that's an awesome quote. I'm going to use that. And so, you know, once you declare for the draft, I'd take it out. But yeah, I mean, this is a guy that absolutely craves it. He absolutely loves competition. He absolutely loves contact. And yeah, he loves football.
Yeah. And he mentioned in his meeting with Buccaneers media that it kind of hurt him mentally to not be able to play for as long as he did before he got to Mobile, and then looking forward to getting back on the field. Real quick, Zach, so some other Auburn players, right? Anthony Schwartz goes third round, wide receiver to the Browns. Jamie Sherwood, defensive back, goes to the Jets in the fifth round. Then Seth Williams goes later in the sixth round, wide receiver to the Broncos. The Buccaneers play the Jets this year. So Jamie Sherwood obviously got another fifth rounder, probably going to have to make his money as a gunner, you know, maybe as a return guy, you can tell us that. But when the Jets and Bucks play, and Auburn fans who were also following the Buccaneers because of all this happened, what do you think Jamie Sherwood is going to present for those New York Jets?
Yeah, they listed him as a linebacker. I actually had Jamie Sherwood on my podcast, Locked on Auburn, a few weeks ago. And there was talk because he's so big. Okay. I mean, this is a safety that's like listed in like, you know, way higher than, I think he's like the same size as KJ Britt is. Nice. And I was like, okay, so what's the NFL want to do with you? Like, what are y'all talking about in meetings? And he's like, well, they actually want me at will or weak side linebacker. And I'm like, oh, interesting, because he didn't really do that at Auburn. So right. I thought that was interesting. So is he going to be able to do that day one? I don't know the answer to that. But a guy that's super, super athletic, kind of drew comparisons. Pro Football Focus kept comparing him to Cam Chancellor, the former Seattle safety, just big and can hit you. Yeah. Not quite as good in coverage, though. That's kind of been a theme on Auburn's defense. But yeah, that's something I think you can expect. Maybe he gets on the field in kind of a nickel role or maybe even a dime role. We'll have to see. But Auburn had another guy go to the Jets in undrafted free agency, Jordan Peters. And that's a guy that, like, I think he led the country a block punts last year. So that could be something too. You know, is that something that he's able to transition to the next level with? So we'll see. But yeah, I think special teams for those guys.
So plenty to see if you're an Auburn fan watching the Bucs and Jets take the field this coming season. And then I got to ask you, Zach, your Twitter bio has it on there that you're a Pats fan. So I got to poke the wound a little bit, wearing a Pats shirt as we're recording. Tom Brady goes to the Buccaneers, obviously a very successful season. How were you feeling? What were your thoughts about Tom Brady's first year in Pewter? And then how do you feel about him coming into year two, potentially playing two more years with the Buccaneers?
Yeah, I was really mad for a long time, man, if I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Yeah. But then as soon as the playoffs hit and I was watching him, I'm like, okay, you know, I want this guy to do it again. Yeah. It felt like a breakup where it's like you wanted to win the breakup. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, man, absolutely. I got to find somebody before she does. And then it's like, you know, he struggled week one against the Saints and you're like, okay, all right. And Cam looked really good against the Dolphins. You know, Cam's an Auburn guy and, you know, we got Jarrett Stidham. I'm like, awesome. All these Auburn guys are on the Patriots. This is going to be great. And then, you know, over the course of the season, both teams had like total opposite trajectories. Yeah. And then as soon as the playoffs rolled around, it's like, you know what? No, this guy's done so much for me, brought me so much happiness. I'm going to pull for him. And it was, It was weird, but no, I'm super happy for him and you Bucks fans. Enjoy it while you have it. It's special watching him play.
Absolutely. And it just kind of came to me. I didn't plan on asking this, so you'll have to forgive me. This is another sore spot, but what's your reaction going to be if Julian Edelman joins the Buccaneers about week 8, week 9 of this coming season?
Let him go. Same with Gronk. The Gronk move hurt me more than the Tomlin did,
really?
But because
he came back
why.
For it, right?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Tom never really hung it up, but yeah. Then like when he came back, his cap situation kind of held us hostage. It was like, you got to trade me. But the Edelman thing, I don't know how much he'll be able to really help.
Right.
I mean, his body's just so beat up, but you know, let them all reunite there. I mean, you only get to play football for so long and those guys love each other. So let them play with each other as long as they can. I'm fine with it.
Absolutely. And yeah. And right now it's all just, you know, everybody's just having fun with it. No official reports coming out, but you know, it's just one of those things that always comes to the surface when these types of things happen. He's been Zach Blackerby, host of the Locked On Auburn podcast and program director at the Auburn Network. Patriots fan, but reacclimated Tom Brady fan. Find him on Twitter at Z Blackerby. Zach, tell everybody about Locked On Auburn, what they can expect from your show, and where to find that.
Yeah, talking about Auburn guys in the draft and in undrafted free agency. So we'll be talking a lot of KJ Britt, as well as guys like Anthony Schwartz and Jamie and Sherwood, Seth Williams. So yeah, come by, check us out, hang out with us. And I still have a hard time not bringing up Tom Brady. So we'll talk about your quarterback as well.
Yeah, and then I need to give Zach a special shout out. Over the draft weekend, our social team over the Locked On Podcast Network absolutely killed it with college host responses to draft picks. Our responses, we were flooding the share drive there with Locked On Now videos, reactions to draft picks. Zach, you and Nick for the network absolutely killed it. Can't appreciate you guys and thank you guys enough. So I wanted to do that publicly because I know our listeners enjoy some of the videos that you guys get churned out for us as well.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, it's been so cool to see this network grow, and you've been a part of it longer than I have. It's been amazing to see. I mean, especially the NFL side of it. You guys are absolutely killing it. So yeah, there's nobody else really like us. So Locked On's, I think we found something special here.
All right, guys, great conversation there with Zach, again, the host of the Locked On Auburn podcast. Hopefully you guys appreciate it as much as I appreciated having it. We've got some more interviews with some more of our Locked On experts coming, as we've got some friends from the network joining us to fill us in on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 2021 NFL draft class. Speaking of friends of the network, we got to give a shout out now to our friends over at rockauto.com, who want to remind you that one reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money so that you can use them for other important things like rookie jerseys on NFL.com or at the team shops. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Back now here to wrap up today's episode of the Locked On Bucks podcast. David Harrison on Twitter at dharrison82. Find the show on Twitter at Locked On Bucks. Find my co-host James Jarko at jyarko_bucks. When you're done listening to today's episodes, guys, please go check out the Locked On Today podcast. The draft is over. Who won? Who lost? That's the question of the day. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. We've got about 5 minutes left in today's show. We've been getting some voicemails over the weekend, and we have some more to get to as well, but I'm going to start kind of from the beginning of the voicemail box, some of them that did not have to do with our jersey giveaway, by the way. Congratulations again to our winner. Still has not claimed the prize, so we haven't really established this yet, but I think we're going to give it about a week to claim the prize before we decide what next steps to take. Really not expecting the prize not to get claimed, but hey, you never know. If it doesn't get claimed, we'll figure out what to do moving forward. We appreciate everybody that entered, of course, and we appreciate everybody that called in. So while we have some time today, let's go ahead and check out one of our voicemails that we got over the weekend.
Hey guys, it's Leighton in Tampa on the morning of day 3 of the draft. Just wanted to drop in for a quick moment and leave my thoughts on the first 3 picks. Obviously, pick was a Bucks best bet put out by Pewter Report, and even Carmen Vitale had him in one of her early mocks. So that one is pretty straightforward, and I don't mind the pick. Second pick, Kyle Trask, seems to be hated by a lot of people. Don't understand why. Jason Light in his pre-draft presser did say that if the right quarterback was there for the right value, that they would take the pick. Plus, in the draft where there's not a whole lot of holes on the team, you can afford to take a quarterback. And then the Robert Hennessy pick is nice O-line depth. And from what I'm seeing, that's going to be for him to kick in to the interior line, not so much as a tackle, but obviously more of a center, maybe guard rotation as well. So it's a little shameful to me for all of these people putting out these hateful tweets, and even already saw where someone on The Athletic gave it a B. I'm like, really? You know, I hate draft grades at this point because no one's played it down. No one knows what's going to happen injury-wise or how they maturate in the learning process. So, anyway, those are my thoughts. You guys are awesome. Loving seeing you on the Facebook Live Things with Channel 10. Keep up the great work. Go Bucks. Talk to you guys soon.
Leighton, good buddy. Appreciate you, man. Happy to hear from you. I saw some activity on social media from Leighton this weekend, this past weekend at least. I think at the stadium for the draft party, if I remember correctly. So hope you had a great time there, Leighton. Hope you're doing well as well. And then, yeah, as far as day one, day two draft reactions, a lot of reactions happening. And you know, we played a voicemail from True. Following the end of day two and the selection of Kyle Trask there in the second round, and then adding Robert Hainsey later on in the third round. And listen, I'm with Leighton, you know what I mean? Draft grades, if I can speak English, are always great. You know what I mean? They're entertaining. They're fun. I like them. I participate in some of them. You know, we gave some draft grades on one of our Facebook Lives with WTSP with Evan over there. And, you know, they're always a good time. But they are exactly like Leighton said. They are grades based off of our own projections and assumptions. And at the end of the day, projections and assumptions never actually made a career, never made a Hall of Fame player a Hall of Fame player. You know, if we're right, that's great. But a lot of times we're wrong, and it goes both ways. We're wrong about a lot of top picks. We're right about a lot of, you know, lower picks. And at the end of the day, it's really going to be on the individual player, the coaching staff. And some of it has to do with a little bit of luck when you look at scheme fits and evaluations and all that stuff. But by and large, when you look at talented players in the National Football League who don't actually make it, it's either usually due to a lack of work ethic, a lack of football IQ, or injury problems. Usually, if you have a guy with football IQ, with good football IQ, with good work ethic, and they stay healthy, they're going to have a successful career. They may not be a Hall of Famer, but they're going to have a successful career. And a successful career for a second-round quarterback does not require being a Super Bowl champion, being a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know what I mean? If Kyle Trask goes on to have a 10, 12, 13, 14-year career in the National Football League as a spot starter, maybe as a starter on a playoff team, you know, here and there, or a competing team for a playoff spot, I mean, listen, he may not go to the Hall of Fame, but that's a hell of a lot more of a successful football career than I have. You know what I mean? So, there's a lot of anger and a lot of misgiving and misperception or what have you. And I just, for me personally, I choose not to have such a visceral reaction to seeing a young man achieve a lifelong dream of his own. So that's how we're going to end today's episode. Appreciate you, Leighton. We've got more voicemails coming through the week, as well as more Locked On friends coming through to talk to us about members of this 2021 NFL Draft Class for your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I have been David Harrison. Find me on Twitter at DHarrison82. Find my co-host James Jarko at JYarko_Bucks. Find the show at Locked On Bucks. Head over to WTSP 10 Tampa Bay's website and their Facebook page to find some of our work, as well as BucksNation.com, part of SB Nation. Until we talk again, Bucks Nation, if you're out and about, please be safe, be kind to one another.